proceeding from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text 38. We don't need the sponsor. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Palaprakara Sankirnam Daitya Deha Gata Sudhi Raja Bhusatala Gai Vanaya Iva Nabastalam. The earth then appeared beautifully covered with heaps of fruits and with the dead bodies of the demons, which were entangled in the broken tops of the palm trees. Indeed, the earth shone like the sky decorated with clouds. Om Jnana Tumaran Lasya Jnanan Jana Shalakaya Taksurum Mutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Jayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidasi Sapadam Sikam Adhananastaram Vankre Idam Yache Puna Puna Vimadupa Padam Bhoja Vilisham Janma Janmani Paragi Yud Bhakti Visham Payatnai Apayam Mamana Bipsamandam Pambuhiya Paraduka Duki Janatanastam Prabhumastayami Pancha Katvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Sarupakam Satavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shastrikam Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. So greetings from Sridham Mayapur. This is the last day of our tour. I called you, I think, the last time I called on last Sunday was before the tour. And I was a little bit worried how the devotees would come and myself from different parts and different places with different loads and spending all this money. Will they get something? But the mercy of Sridham Mayapur, Odarya Dham, where magnanimity flows, the flow and waves of magnanimity found us all in Gaur Bhakti. It's so nice to see how enlivened and absorbed the devotees are. This year, the program, we added more katha. We had class every morning, Chaitanya Bhagavat at 6:15, and 7 o'clock the devotees went to the temple, and we had breakfast, and then went out to various places, and in the afternoon again congregated from 4:30 to 6, and it reaffirmed my confirmation that we all have no potential, no ability to actually access the Holy Dham. But we come to the Holy Dham because there are people here who can access and appreciate the Holy Dham, and we can get their association. Today we went to Prabhupada's rooms. After we went to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Samadhi, and we came back and we met with Pankajungri, one of the twin brother Pujaris, and so much relished his association and realizations of Sridhar Mayapur, and then took Radha Madhava Prasad. If you could hear, you know, my voice is a little choked up. It's only because of all the eating I've been doing. Yesterday we went, had an adventure, we went to Namgachi, the island Modadruma Dweep, which represents Dasyam, or service. And our experience in the Dham is that there's something very sweet and deep which the advanced souls can access. And they tend to gravitate towards particular places in the Dham that nourish their mood. For example, we went to Godrum Dweep the other day, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. And it was very nice. Just as I began to speak in their darshan mandap, one older Gaudiya Math Sannyas came, and his brahmachari said, they have the rights to this place. So in the mood of the Dham, we took the humble position, and we went upstairs, and we sat in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's rooms, and we were just relishing so much the contribution of this great Vaishnava. And we did something very nice. We tried to sing the first line of all the songs that Bhaktivinoda Thakur contributed. Vibhava Rishesha Aloka Pravesha Nidratari Uta Jiva Manasa Deho Deho Jo Kichuara Adila Tuapade Nanda Kishora Kiva Jaya Jaya Goran Chande Arodi Kesova Jai Madhipata Vani Jagamanalo. So we actually went to that place, Srivasangam, where the Sankirtan mission began. And they have deities of that song. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wandering on the bank of the Ganga and was informed of Srivas Thakur's anxiety that the Kazi was going to suppress the kirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran into Srivas Angam chanting, I am he, I am he. And he put the Shalagram Shila on his lap, I am he. And the devotees started to worship in that song, Jai Navi Tata Vahani, Jagamana Loba, Kiva Jayo Jaya. The artik of Lord Gaurachandra. Jaina Vitata Vani Chandamanalo. On the bank of the Ganga, stealing the minds of the whole universe. Next slide. Ame, no.
Dakine.
Lord Nityananda on the right, Gadadhara on the left, Srivas with the chamara. So we also went there. But the internal mood, so Godrum Dweep, Lord Nityananda started the Namhaka because it's the island that embodies the devotional item of kirtan. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, hundreds of years later, went to the same island to establish the Nam Hata. Kabe Gai, Badasuke Kabe Gai, Badasuke Kabe Gai, Badasuke Kabe Gai, Surabi Kunje Te Namahakule Te, Surabi Kunje Te Namahakule Te, Kodanita. I am singing news of the greatest happiness. The island of Godrum Dweep in Sarabi Kunj, which is Godrum Dweep. Lord Nityananda is opening up a marketplace for the holy name. Koda Nitai. And Nitai is the broker. So we sat there and we sang, I mean, we can go on, Gurudev, Vaishnava, Thakur, so many songs, glorious songs. And we spoke, actually, one of my godbrothers came, who I haven't seen like in 25 years, and he was the godbrother who got initiated with me in the initiation letter that Prabhupada sent. And he spoke, he was a Grihastha, spoke with a lot of realization. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then, and I'm going to get to the Bhagavatam today, but then we went to Mam Gachi, this Moda Druma Dweep, which is the island that exemplifies service. And there's a 78-year-old pujari who's been there for 70 years serving the deities of Vasudev Dutta and Saranga Thakur. And he's all hunched over in his back. And the devotees really appreciated his mood of service because his guru told him when he was 8 years old. Because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that place was just a jungle. Although, by the time, 100 years ago, although it was the birthplace of Vrindavan Das Thakur, who wrote the Chaitanya Bhagavat, but deities of Madan Gopal, Vasudev Dutta's deities. And he cooked a huge feast for us on just two wood stoves, and so enthusiastically, Dasyam, his guru told him, when he was 8 years old, you come here, he was from Puri. You come here, you worship the deities, and you serve the Vaishnavas. And he told them one day, devotees from all over the world would come, and you don't need an invitation. You show up with 30 or 40 people, and he's in the kitchen cooking to serve the Vaishnavas. Devotees were very inspired. They were very inspired to be with Pankajundri. So we were actually, the most we got here is by associating with the Vaishnavas, who actually have that mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that mood of humility and compassion. Humility for your own spiritual practices, compassion to open your heart to others. And that's actually the sukriti to attain Vrindavan. The sukriti to attain Vrindavan is mentioned in the story of the Kaliya serpent. It's the Kaliya serpent, the wives of the Brahmins, the wives of Kaliya, the Nagapatnis, the wives of the Kaliya serpent, when they saw that Krishna was so angry with their husband and realizing that now their husband, his false ego was crushed, remembered their instructions about Krishna and was becoming a devotee. So they felt compassion for him, and they were trying to understand how did this envious serpent get the lotus feet of the Supreme Absolute Reality on his head. And first they thought, there's two choices. Either it's just Krishna's pure mercy, or they had some qualification. They thought, maybe it's just your pure mercy because he's an envious snake. But then they thought, no, maybe, perhaps in his previous life, he performed the bhakti sukriti, and you look in the verse, of nirmanena madhanena, of being humble. And the dharma, januk kampika, the dharma of being compassionate to others. So right there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives the sukriti to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. And and our path coming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nirmana, madhanena, to be very, very humble so we can actually become an object of Krishna's mercy, feel his mercy, and therefore feel love in our heart, and therefore chant the holy name with feeling. And compassion to others, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Nadiyaga drume nityananda mahajan, pati achinam hatha jivarakaram, jiva doi Krishna nam sabadama sa, jiva doi Krishna nam sabadama sa. The essence, sarva-dharma sar, the essence of all dharma, jiva-doi, to show compassion to the living entities, the conditioned souls, by giving them the holy name of Krishna. Now, we're the pastime of Dainakasura, and I just give a little bit brief summary, just to give us the context of this wonderful story. Krishna goes from Vraja to Vana. Vraja is the cow pasture. That's where the village of Vrindavan is. It's where you graze the cows and graze the calves. But Krishna also goes to the Vrindavan, the Van, the forest of Vrindavan. And also takes the cows for walking in the forest of Vrindavan. So this is the story which introduces that forest of Vrindavan and how sweet and wonderful that forest of Vrindavan is. And I've described this so many times, and I have to feel there's some continuity in the audience that I don't have to repeat it again and again. The forest of Vrindavan, the internal potency, which moves for the pleasure of Krishna, but to stimulate his senses and create the suitable environment for him to have loving pastimes with his devotees. And then it's a description of those loving pastimes, the exchanges with the cowherd boys. Then Isha Cheshtata. Then it begins to describe his pastimes as Isha, or the controller. And we discussed in many classes the necessity of some Aishwarya, even in Braj Leela, to invoke, to increase the Madhurya or the appreciation in the various intimate relationships, that my friend has killed a powerful demon. My son has killed a powerful, my lover has killed a powerful demon. It never covers the Madhurya or the intense intimate love that's there in Braja, the nature of Braja Bhakti. It's so intimate that even some occasional manifestation of Krishna's opulence can never cover that sweet love of Braja. I'm so tempted to tell the whole story again and again, but people heard it so many times. And then, so he goes, and we have the whole story where Krishna kills the demon. And then we get to this very, very interesting point that, especially if you're not completely purified, hearing has to be contemplated. It just can't be entertained. Otherwise, it'll become more or less a little bit just entertainment. So it has to be contemplated a little bit. Some understanding has to be there. And it's nice that Krishna's killing the demons, but the demons represent the anarthas, the things of no value that contaminate our heart and prevent us from seeing Krishna and seeing the pure self. In the Shikshastakam, the heart is compared to a mirror. And the mirror reflects clearly, unless it has dust. So our heart is meant to reflect two things. We should see the Supreme Lord, and we should see ourselves. Cheto Darpanam Marjanam. But the holy name of Krishna, Cheto Darpanam, it cleans the heart. The heart means chitta, the consciousness. And when the chitta is cleared, it's just like if you had a beautiful bakery, and there were so many delicacies behind the glass, but the glass was dirty. You could not see or appreciate or even know what those delicacies are. So similarly, there's eight material elements, and there's almost like a ninth, the total material consciousness called chitta. And it's almost like a glass which if it's clean, then behind it you can begin to see yourself, Sarup Siddhi. You may not yet actually be situated in your spiritual body, but you can actually almost see the reflection of your spiritual body, and you can see the form of the Lord that you are worshiping. But the heart is contaminated, and there's dust on the heart and full of anarthas. And in fact, the nature of bhakti, that until we remove these anarthas, you can't fully enter into and understand Krishna's most intimate pastime. So the Bhagavatam, before the Rasa Leela, the demons are killed. And the demons represent these subtle anarthas. And this demon, Dainakasura, which is specifically one of the deceitful demons, the guru specifically, Balaram represents guru, and he kills especially the very subtle and deceitful demons. Perhaps the Shastra can reveal and destroy the gross demons. But the real subtle ones, it takes relationship with teacher. And that faith that one has in teacher, and the openness one has in teacher, to actually, in that association, it's called a term, which my godbrother Padumna gave me, something that the fire of Sadhu Sangha. The fire of Sadhu Sangha, the sadhu seeds, he sees, and he has to cut the false ego. Delicate operation. But he's not expert, he cuts the heart. Patient dies. He is subtle. And why is the demon subtle? Because he's not coming in the form of a huge snake, a python, a kaliya. Krishna killed a python and this many-headed snake. Or this wild, ferocious, but he's a donkey. But yet, he's one of the most ferocious demons. Actually, it's from a past life. He was a descendant of Prahlad Maharaj in that Daitya dynasty, a fifth generation. And he kicked a saint. And that demon, from kicking a saint, took birth as an ass. But he was a man-eating donkey, and he captured a forest in Braj. It just wasn't a demon that was in Braj or coming over the river like Kamsa was sending, but he actually captured Braj. He captured one of the forests, and that specifically he represents the grossest material consciousness, which is envy. Because he can only eat grass. But these sweet fruits that are falling on the ground keeps under his control. And that's material consciousness. I want to be the controller and enjoyer, which means two things. I want to be the controller and enjoyer. And to be the controller and the enjoyer, then no one else can enjoy more than me. And therefore you prevent and you're unhappy that others enjoy. And when very interesting, we're reading today about the subtlety of Vaishnava Aparad, because we wanted to read all the pastimes that took place in Srivasangam, because we visited there. And in terms of the subtlety of Vaishnava Aparad, so we're reading and commenting on the pastime of Lord Chaitanya. And he took the position of the Supreme Lord, because that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means. It means he enjoys love of Godhead from both ends of the spectrum, from the standpoint of the devotee and the standpoint of God. So mostly he's in the mood of the devotee, but occasionally to get the flavor from the other end of prema, he manifests the form as the Supreme Lord. He says, Anior, Anior, Anior. He's eating everything. Anior. And the devotees are so afraid. And then they finally, he's in the mood of Govardhan. Give him a tulsi. And give him a tulsi, he's pacified. You have this. So he's there and he's giving blessings to everyone. And then innocently the devotees say, because he's giving every blessing to any devotee he wants, he says, now give my mother a blessing. I will not give my mother a blessing, because she has offended Advaita Acharya. And Srivas Thakur says, she is the universal mother. We love her more than life. This is breaking our hearts. Lord Chaitanya is firm until she gets the dust of the lotus feet of Advaita. She cannot. So just see, because Gaur-lila also, Gaur-lila means to, Gaur-lila means, the meditation on Gaur-lila means, if you get the inner consciousness of Krishna-lila in a way that's more accessible, just like we read at Srivasangam, that the kirtan at Srivasangam, that Srivasangam is Rasastali in Gaur-lila. So you get the rasa dance, the most intimate confidential pastime, you get the consciousness of the rasa dance, where Krishna becomes the holy name, and the devotees are relating to Krishna in their and most of the associates of Lord Chaitanya are in the mood of the gopis. So it's the rasa lila, the holy name is manifest as the beautiful form of Krishna. And the devotees, including Lord Chaitanya, are in the mood of the gopis, because that's what chanting ultimately means at a higher stage of practice and realization. It means that you're with Krishna and you're there and that your relationship is with Krishna. So it was nocturnal kirtans all night, relishing the kirtan ras. So this means Gaur-lila. So also, to enter the Shuddha Nam, the Shuddha Kirtan, the pure Kirtan, to enter that, the subtle narthas also have to be removed. And Lord Chaitanya and his Leela, besides giving us the rasas of Sankirtan and the internal mood of Braj through that Sankirtan, he's showing us the subtlety of anarchism. Look at Vaishnava Parad. How subtle is it? And it describes how subtle is it. What did Mother Sachi do? She had the most beautiful son in the world, Vishwarup, who is the most learned pundit. He was so scholarly that he would go into the assemblies of the Bhattacharyas and say, give me a verse. They would give some kind of verse argument. He would refute it. Then he would refute the refutation. Then he would refute the refutation of the refutation. But then what was his mood by all that learning? Humbly he wanted to dedicate himself to freeing the conditioned souls. And therefore, in the association of Advaita Acharya and hearing his preaching, he left home and took sannyas. So is there such a big offense that his mother, in that type of mood, a mother, the supreme mother, it means it's all heart. And for that moment, her spontaneous affection for Vishwarup, which she loses from life, she blurts out, he is not Advaita, he is Dvaita. He is not one. He is two. He is duplicitous. And the Dvaita Charya didn't even take offense. Look how subtle it is. And Lord Chaitanya takes the offense as the Supreme Lord, that he's offended my devotee. And therefore Mother Sachi went and begged at the feet of Advaitacharya, "I have offended you." Advaitacharya is such a Vaishnav. When Mother Sachi comes and says, "I offended you," the heart of a Vaishnava, seeing such a great personality, thinking, "I've offended you," he faints in pain. And then Mother Sachi touches his feet to see the subtlety of Vaishnava opera. Okay. It's very late at night, so one of my audience members just fell asleep and has to go to bed. I will not tell you who it is, because I do not want to embarrass them. Okay, now we'll get to this pastime, the Bainakasura. We have a little time left. So the earth that appeared beautifully, so it describes the condition of the earth. And the earth appeared beautifully covered with heaps of fruits and with the dead bodies of the demons, which were entangled in the broken tops of the palm. Indeed, the earth shone like the sky decorated with clouds. It just shows you the spiritual nature. The spiritual nature, everything becomes transcendental. Anything connected with Krishna becomes beautiful. So even here, this is the Vrindavan, the dead bodies of the demons. They were dark, like blue clouds, and the large quantity of blood flowed, appeared like bright red clouds. The off frame was referenced. This looks very horrific, but this is the transcendental nature. And the results of pastimes always result in beauty, even when the Lord forms his so-called. It's the transcendental nature. Our frame of reference, it may not seem so. And I really want to get to the next verse, and the next verse, and the next verse. Kayostatsa mahakarma ashamya vibhutaya umucha pushpavarshani chakravarjani tushtu. Hearing of this magnificent feat of the two brothers, the demigods and other elevated living beings rained down flowers and offered music and prayers and glorification. And this is also a type of worship. The demigods, they're appreciating the power of Krishna, and their respect is pushpanjali. They're offering flowers. I'm going to lose the rest of my audience here, because everyone's okay here? Okay, good. It was such a long day. Long day. You've been out there. So, this is a very interesting point. I think we appreciate it. So, an elevated living being. Demigods, the Buddha, Adaya, and other very, so they worshiped and they offered prayers and there was music. So they were astonished. An indirect dasa, they have some appreciation, it looks like, either Shanta or Dasya. And Krishna's great feet of whirling, and Balaram's feet of whirling this demon and throwing it into the forest, and then the domino effect of the forest and the book. It's such an amazing scene, and then the other demons come with their back legs trying to kill Balaram, and then Krishna, you know, steps in front to protect his brother, and then he kills the other demons, and it's just like a sporting event. Krishna's father, his ability to, his character, how great that was. And therefore, Dundabi Anatha. Dundabi means these drums were playing. Dun, 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 dun. And the Anatha, the trumpets. Dun, 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 dun. And therefore, Krishna's father became known as Anaka Dundabi because he was so glorified. But there's a more important point here. Because the demigods, although they're devotees, they're bogies. They're enjoyers. And what does enjoyer do? You see? They only come when there's a result. They come at the end when they can enjoy. And Krishna did something well. Hey bo, hey bo, hey bo. Jai! Hey bo, hey bo. But the devotees, the cowherd boys, they want to be part of the action. They want to be part of the action. It's one thing to come and cheer that the Krishna consciousness movement was successful, but to actually make it successful, the devotees are actually part of the action. Part, like the cowherd boys, they're part of the action. They're not just waiting for the results. And therefore, we want Shuddha Bhakti, not Siddha Bhakti. We want pure devotion, not some goal or result. Just like we were today with Pankaj Angri, it was so nice to see this devotee who's been here for 30 years worshiping the devotees, worshiping the deities. And you know, what is worshiping the deities in Maya for? He described one flood that covered the head of Lord Nrisimhadev, and the only way that you can get in the temple room is you had to dive off the veranda and go underwater because the whole door was covered and come out the other side just to get into the temple. And actually when the water came in the temple, because it was the Ganga, they worshipped the water. If there were no deities, they can only offer the food to the Ganga. That was the worst flood. But the other flood, where the water was up to the waist of Lord Nrisimhadev, and he said these kind of floods are considered every 300 years. But he had to put a table upside down and put the paraphernalia and float it. He said when he would do the puja, sometimes there were venomous snakes. He described that one snake come every day and circumambulate Lord Nrisimhadev. And it's just this simple realization that to be a humble servant of Lord Chaitanya in his mission is already the perfection of life. That he's not worried about Shraddha to pray. He's just worried, again, he's just worried of being the humble servant of the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Srila Prabhupada. He has so much faith and confidence that is the situation, the perfection, as Prabhupada says often in the Bhagavad Gita, the perfected state of a living entity is called the devotee. So here, the demigods represent the enjoyers. They want to come at the end. They want to come on the end. But the devotees, Shuddha Bhakata Charuna Renu Bhajana Anukula Bhakti Nautapu. Shuddha Bhakta, pure Bhakta. That be simple devotion. Therefore, this prayer is, O Lord, please distract me before the goal. Before the goal. Because I'm not doing it for the reason. I'm doing it for the service of Krishna. People now felt free to return to the forest where Dainika had been killed. Without fear, they ate the fruits of the palm trees. And, of course, not everyone ate the fruits of the palm trees because they were contaminated, but only the low-class people, such as the Palindis, ate the fruits of the trees. Also, the cows could not graze freely upon the grass there. Now, just one thing. One time I visited Vidya Nandamaraj, and he was writing the philosophy book. And I said, "What are you doing, Maharaj?" I was visiting him. He said, "I'm writing the philosophy book. I'm up to the MVP." So MVP generally means most valuable player. So what is he talking about? MVP. MVP. So the term for Greek in Sanskrit is Palinda. He said, MVP, the most, I'm studying Aristotle, the most valuable Palinda. Now, here's the verses I finally wanted to get to. The story of Dainakasa. And these are the verses that I finally wanted to get to in the story of Dainakasa. Krishna Kamala Patraksha Punya Shravana Kirtana Stuyamano Nagai Gopai Sagrajo Vrajam Av Rajat. Then lotus eyed Krishna, whose glories are most pious to hear and chant, his glories, his, returned home to Vraja with his elder brother Balaram. Along the way, the cowherd boys, his faithful followers, chanted his glories. So now we're going to see. There's three really, really main points here of this pastime. Main point is we get to see the forest. We get to see the forest of Vrindavan for the first time. And we get to see the gopis because Krishna is Poganda. He's mature in age now, so gopis are actually introduced. And we get to see the mood of separation of the residents of Vrindavan because when it's Vraja, when he's taking the calves of the pasturing grounds, he's nearby. There's not much separation. But now Poganda, he takes the cows and he goes to the forest. When he goes to the forest, they're in separation, terrible separation. Residents of Vrindavan are in terrible separation when he goes to the forest. So Krishna now returns, and we're going to actually see the real deep love of residents of Vrindavan. And it begins, Krishna, Kamala Patraksha, Krishna expresses his beauty which the residents of Vrindavan will now hear about. This Kamala Patraksha, the eyes. Just think of Krishna as lotus eyes. He's coming back from the forest of Vrindavan. Punya Shravana Kirtana. And who is Krishna? Whose kirtan creates good fortune for the ears. This is also in the eyes of the Brahmins blessed. Karna Purnai, it was so advanced that Karna Purnai, that kirtan became the hearing about Krishna became the ornaments of their ears. Punya Shravana Kirtana, the lotus eyed Krishna, whose glories are most pious to hear and chant, returned home to Vraja with his elder brother Balaram. Along the way, cowherd boys, his faithful followers, chanted his glories. So three things announced the arrival of Krishna to Vraja. The dust, the Padaduli, first they see this. This is the Udipad. You're in Vraja. You can imagine. Try to see what you can see in your mind. The residents of Vrindavan. Even now the gopis come out. Samaita, but they come out congregationally. It's so interesting. You can see the gopis leave their homes. None of their husbands want them to go. None of their parents want them to go. But even though they have that aggressiveness for Krishna, socially they come in a group. Samaita. They come in a group to see Krishna. They come in a group. And then, so first the arrival is the dust, and then next, I hear Krishna's flute. As remember, the descriptions of Krishna's flute is the rag, the deep rag, his love in for his devotees, transformed and expressed in music so that it can be carried for a far distance to express his love for his devotees. Because the musical instrument transforms and heightens the voice. Instrument does a very wonderful thing. So it gives, as we mentioned before, the melody of the individual devotee to express his love, or the melody for the individual group of devotees to express their love. So then the flute blows. And then finally, they hear the kirtan of the cowherd boys. What kirtan? The deep devotion. And what songs are they singing? Ones that are appropriate for the particular moment. So Krishna has his pastimes in Braj, and he's moving around in Braj. So this kirtan that's coming back is singing about him killing Dainakasura, singing about him killing Dainakasura, also glorifying Krishna's moving through the forest, probably describing the flute and the Kamala, Krishna Kamala, his lotus eyes is also being described and glorified. So the kirtan, the cowherd boys, and the gopis, gopis, they're singing of Krishna's qualities and lila like Dainakasura, and thus attracting the residents of Vrindavan. Because the name of Krishna is more merciful than Krishna, or the form of Krishna, because you have to go to the form of Krishna, but the name of Krishna goes to you. People here are watching me, those of you who have never seen me give the class, there's a lot of action and hand movements, and it's not even if the people are not here. I'm doing this to the wall. But it's the kirtan. They're hearing this. Just like we're in Mayapur, we walk down, if we hear a kirtan of some Param Vaishnavas, we hear a kirtan with bhav, with mood, with devotion, appropriate and sung properly. So the residents of Vrindavan, this is the ultimate concert. They're hearing Krishna. They're hearing Krishna's glories. And they're hearing Krishna's glories. And Avrajat, he returned to Vraja, it's especially first to Krishna, that Krishna returns. Although it says, so Avrajat along with Balaram, Krishna especially to Vraja, because he's going to meet the gopis and others to give them pleasure. So Balaram is there, and the forest returned to Vraja, the cow pastures, and he returned the same day. He didn't go out and come the next day, otherwise it would have said, once upon a time. It doesn't say once upon a time. So beginning with these words, Krishna, the pastimes in the forest ended, and the pastimes in Vraja began. And therefore, the forest withers in separation, and Vraja comes to life. They see Lord Krishna's hair powdered with the dust raised by the cows, decorated with the peacock feather, and forest spark. Like first his face, the most beautiful part, is described, and the Lord glances charmingly and smiling beautifully, reciprocating with all the devotees, playing upon his flute. So this is Vrindavan. So, and thus, the ecstasy of the mutual seeing and offering respects between the Supreme Personality and the gopis, between Krishna, who is decorated with forest dress suitable to the evening, is described in these verses. And this is actually our Priyojana Tattva. This is actually our goal. It's Prabhupada. Even when I was in one temple, Prabhupada said that we should join Krishna's family. Join Krishna's pastimes. Why? Because this is Prema Bhakti. There's Krishna, his devotees, and a relationship between them. And everything is sparking that intense love and pretty and pleasure in their hearts. See the dust, knowing that the cows of Vrindavan and Krishna are returning after being away for a day, a moment seems like 12 years or more. Then to see the beautiful, his face with his cascading, his hair, locks of hair smeared, the evening dress smeared with that dust. Somehow everything enhances Krishna's beauty. Peacock feather. A harpy dumb, Matavarava Pukarni, a peacock feather and the forest flowers. How beautiful. Vana Upasana, the forest, a charming eye, Chaturhasam, a beautiful smile and his flutes, a companions, chanting. Diksha, the gopis are so eager to see. We'll see now exchanges between Krishna and his gopi to the source of the ultimate pleasure. Hare Krishna.